Om Shanti. It's really extremely special to be sitting here in the gathering of this huge world family. And I have an image in my mind that it's like Baba has called us from all different corners of the world. Do you feel that? That we all come running at this time when Baba is coming. And I think today, Daddy Jenki, I think Daddy Gulzar, Sister Jenki, they're all arriving. So it's like all the family coming home because, of course, in 2 days' time, Baba will be with us. And I don't know about you, but I think when Baba comes for the first meeting of the season, what does he often ask? What question? What does he ask? Have you done your homework that I gave you? Can everyone remember the homework? Can you remember? Actually, Baba gives us so many things to do. But for me, what I took last year, and it was actually the first Morley of the season, when Baba was praising the service we were doing, but Baba said that children do two things simultaneously. As you speak, do you remember the language Baba used? I loved it. He said, give rays of peace through your mind. Give rays of joy through your mind. Give rays of love. Do you remember Baba saying that? And what really touched me was that Baba said that if we do that service, that you will be man above. It's like a natural way of feeling close to Baba, and your sanskaras will change. Do you remember that? It's almost like Baba saying that if we keep my mind clean with these thoughts of benevolence and service, that automatically I feel close to Baba, and this whole change, this process of change, which we're all involved in the confluence age, takes place automatically. But also Baba, that I heard, was asking us again, as he does every year, children, how far have you transformed your sanskars? Is that a good question? I think each time Baba comes and asks, and you know, the method is to have quality remembrance, quality yoga. And I think this is a lifetime journey for all of Baba's children to ascertain, for me, what really is quality remembrance. Because so many times I think we sit and we don't want to climb up the steps of the ladder. We want to go straight to the top of the ladder without building the proper process or creating the internal environment which produces a very deep and loving link with Baba. And to me, you know, in my journey of Brahman life, at different points of time, different situations happen where I question myself, you know, really, what is the quality of my meditation? If the ultimate aim of this study is to have an unadulterated, perfect link with Baba, how far have I gone there? What is the quality of my yoga? It's a big question for me. Is it a question for you? I think it's a question in the mind of every Brahman. And sometimes I love to sit and just ask my heart, you know, why did I come? Why did I come to Baba? Ultimately, I recognize it's time to change and to become pure. The next question, why am I still here? I think it's the same answer. Because I want to change, I want to become pure. The method is yoga. And so many times, you know, when I reflect on my Brahman life and the conversations in the family, Because that's the beauty of this family, is the sharing. Often what I hear is that I love Baba deeply. I'm absolutely committed. I follow all the principles. I do service day and night, and yet, do I really feel I've done the work of this, the deep work of this life, to develop that quality of connection that shifts myself on that really deep level? And one of the stories which I love, and you may have heard this because it's a common sort of story around the Brahmin family, was about Daddy Prakashmani in 1968. If you do a little bit of mathematics in your mind, it was the year before Brahma Baba left his body. And what I heard was that Baba had a seminar in the history hall in Madhuban, and he invited all the seniors, and the seminar was on remembrance. I really love it. You know, we have seminars on management and seminars on this and that, but Sakha Baba held this seminar on remembrance, and he asked all the seniors, you know, how much do you remember Baba? In a day, how much do you remember Baba? And he went around the whole room, and he came to Daddy Prakashmani, and it was 1 year before Daddy was to become, you know, Baba selected her as the main instrument to carry on his work in the world. And Baba said, Daddyji, how much do you remember Baba? And Daddyji said, 1 hour a day. Actually, when I heard that, it made me feel better. I don't know about you. But Baba praised her for her honesty. And I thought about that because to me, there's different grades or quality of yoga. I remember once a few years ago, two or three times Baba said, children, it's not that you're body conscious, and it's not that you're soul conscious either, but you're action conscious. Do you remember that? And this is really, I think, the culture of our life today, you know, doing, doing. But if you look at the seed of everything we do, most of it's because we love Baba. It is like a very low-grade form of yoga. We're doing something because we love Baba. It is creating my fortune, but it's not changing me. The second grade I often think of is indirect, what I call indirect remembrance. And this is really when I'm thinking about Baba. I'm thinking about Baba's knowledge. I'm thinking about Baba's qualities. I'm thinking about Baba's powers. Actually, that quality of churning sustains me. It does keep me light. It does keep me easy. But it's not transforming me. It's not actually shifting something deep in the soul. Sometimes in my Brahman life, many times I ask the question, am I really having a connection with Baba, or am I just thinking about Baba? Am I just sitting there having quality, elevated thoughts? They're pure thoughts, and they do sustain me. Or as is the soul really lost in this deep, loving connection with one? There's a difference. And many times I think, what we say is yoga is more this indirect remembrance. Because I would say the third level is this direct connection with one. When I become a bodiless soul and I lose myself in Baba, I absolutely lose myself, my intellect, my mind, my sanskaras, my remembrance, everything is lost in that remembrance of one. The soul's so absorbed, we go out of my old self, and it's like, it's this quality that begins to shift something. And I think when Daddyji was responding to Baba, she was talking about this third quality, this absorption in one, this unadulterated connection. Because I asked myself, you know, how much do I have the quality of just, you know, action consciousness? Yes, I'm doing it for Baba. It gives some benefit. How much is my remembrance more the indirect type? And how much in a day do I have that unadulterated link with one? Because in a sense, it's this quality that's going to shift something within me. And yet when I sit down and think about how I'm meditating, what is the quality of my yoga, I begin to think that really yoga's like the pinnacle of my Brahman life, and each aspect of my Brahman life is contributing to this ultimate connection with one. And, you know, sometimes I think of it as cooking, like cooking a cake. Sometimes we just want to eat the cake. But we actually have to get the ingredients, we have to mix them together, and we have to cook the cake before we eat it. It's like we want to jump to the top without building a really profound platform that produces quality meditation. Because what I've really found is that if we go along for a period of time battling in my head, I sit to remember Baba, but a lot of obstacles come, difficulties come, unprocessed feelings. All of us carry, you know, what I often find in life, you know, you interact with many people, this person says this, this happens, I'm busy. I don't have time to process my feelings. I sit to meditate, and what happens? Onto the screen of my mind, these feelings emerge, and I start to process them. Actually, I need to do that at some point, but not when I'm sitting to meditate. Because either the habitual pattern of processing life develops, or even I get to a point where it seems so hard to have this purity of connection that subtly I start to feel yoga is difficult, you know, and I'm not very good at it, and so I fall back into the old pattern of seeking success through action. In other words, service becomes my focus. Because I know how to do service, and I know how to get the results, you know? I do something, and I feel good, I feel happy, someone gives me some acknowledgement. Whereas sometimes yoga is challenging. And subtly I feel if there's a lack of success meditating, then I start to look for it back into action, and service really takes over. And I tell myself in many subtle ways, I give myself excuses why I need to do action rather than perhaps really pursue that quality of meditation. And these days when someone asks me and says, well, I'm finding meditation difficult, you know what I feel? Is look at the other 18 hours of the day. Actually, that's the secret to why meditation is difficult. Because you think about it, there's such a deep relationship between my thoughts and my actions. What I do is going to influence what I think. And so my doing during the day is going to really influence my thinking when I sit to meditate. How many times have you got a little bit, you know, if during the day I'm a little bit frustrated, I get a little bit upset, I gossip about somebody, you know, I get a little bit angry. When I sit at night, can I meditate? I don't think so. And this is the incredibly, I think, deep philosophy which Baba is really teaching us. And he's saying, really, children, if you want to have that quality of connection, that unadulterated connection with one, look at each and every aspect of my life. And sometimes Baba likens the highest form of yoga with the volcano stage. You know, a few years ago, different times, Baba calls it volcanic yoga, where it's like we create the fire that transforms the soul. So I wonder, you know, how is your volcano? How's your volcano? Is it active? Is it smoking a bit? A little bit, just a little bit of smoke? Is it erupting, burning and firing? Is it dormant? Do I sit and nothing much happens? who experiences all of those stages? Can I ask? I think a lot of us do. It's normal, actually, because I think ultimately to bring in living in a world of so much distraction, to be able to bring my intellect and have unadulterated focus on one is the essence of truth and knowledge. And this is why for me, I feel to build the volcano step by step. It's like I start from the foundation and I build the layers step by step. It's like I'm creating a logical process to bring myself to the point where the fiery form, the powerful form, the highest form develops. And this is why for me the first step is building a foundation. And to me it's almost like underpinning meditation is awareness of two things. A few years ago, Baba said, he talked about the two principles of freedom, which I really love. They're like the two principles that free my intellect for this process of relationship with Baba. The first principle is mine is one Shiv Baba and none other. I don't know much Hindi, but Mera to ek Shiv Baba dusra na koi. I know that because when I was early in Gyan, I used to sing that song. There's a song and somehow I learned that song and Daddy used to make me sing it, and occasionally she still asks me. And you know, my first meeting with Baba, was in the history hall in Pandav Bhavan, and I sat in front of Baba. I was 2.5 months in Gyan. You could imagine. My first meeting, and in those days we'd have personal meetings, and Baba would speak the mulin, would come and sit in front of Baba, and Baba gave me long drishti. And then he asked me two questions. Now you can imagine I was 2.5 months in Gyan, and the first question was, do you have one Shiv Baba and none other? And I went, yes. Because in front of Baba, it's this amazing, Baba makes you feel you can go there. And then the second question Baba asked me, are you stable on drama? I was 2.5 months in Gyan. I said, yes. Because, you know, I should have definitely said no, but it's like the power of Baba's faith in the soul makes you feel you can move there. But I often feel that when I understand the depth of this, it's like when I sow the seed of one Baba and none other in the depth of the soul, that seed starts to network with the original pure sanskars. You know, often I think how to really bring purity into the soul after 2,500 years of all sorts of things. I feel to sow the seed of all relationships with Baba is the most powerful point of spiritual knowledge. The second thing, the second principle that Baba talked about, the principle of freedom, was that, you know, Baba, everything is yours. It's almost like stepping away from this accumulated account of I and my, freeing myself from the account of, you know, bodily relationships, freeing myself from the account of I and my. To me, in a sense, it's not that I'm really there perhaps yet fully, but holding those thoughts deeply underpin the beginnings of yoga, because they're ultimately essential ingredients as I build the volcano. The second thing for me is preparing the ground. And I would say this is lifestyle. My lifestyle is perhaps the way of describing this. And there's four things that Baba often talks about. Firstly, Srimat, which is not being pulled by inaccurate actions. Secondly, perhaps surrender, which is not being pulled by the things of value. We all have things. We all bring things of value to Brahman life. We bring our skills, our talents, our wealth. Third is renunciation, which is not being pulled by the rubbish that I bring. Not being so influenced by the rubbish that the soul brings. And fourthly, virag or disinterest, which is not being pulled by the world. In a sense, what Baba is doing, he's preparing our intellect to step away from all these things which have chronically, like a magnet, pulled my intellect away from the destination that I really want to travel to. And he starts to educate ourselves in a natural way. Because sometimes when we hear these things, it just feels a bit technical or overwhelming. And one I've really become interested in, perhaps just recently, is surrender and renunciation. Because, can I ask, who has read the Renunciation Mulis? Can I ask those who've read the Renunciation Mulis of the early 1980s? Wow, that's amazing. There's only about 5% of that. This was, in a sense, to me, a changing point in my Brahman life, because I can remember the second time I came to Madhavan, Daddy Jenki said to me, as I took leave from her, she said, and I may be paraphrasing her, she said, "You are loving, but now become powerful." And I remember thinking, how do I become powerful? Because at that point, many things would influence me. You know, I think we all know how easily we are influenced. So easily. The Renunciation Mulis came along a few years ago, and there were 7 Mulis where, to me, Baba outlines the real method, ultimately what this life is about, in a step-by-step form. It just opened my eyes. And in a sense, like I was saying, surrender is of the things I bring of value. All of us come to Brahman life. We have skills, we have talents, we have experience, we have achievements, we have wealth. Renunciation is the rubbish, the negativity, the body consciousness, the ego, the desires. We bring both of them. And what I've seen is that sometimes we recognize Baba, I've come home, this is where I belong, I'm a Brahman. And as soon as I do that, I surrender, because I feel this is truth, and I feel comfortable to surrender the things of value. And very quickly, many of us give our skills to Baba, we even give money to Baba very quickly. But then we begin the process of renunciation, and sometimes that's not so easy. Trying to deal with my stuff, my rubbish, my ego, we battle. We're not so successful. And we can come to a point where we feel a bit empty. It's like I've moved away from the world, I've surrendered what I bought from the world, but I haven't really achieved the success, you know, in renunciation. And that's sometimes an uncomfortable place to be for a Brahman. Actually, it's just a sign that I think Baba wants us to really go deeper into renunciation. Baba has a little formula that renunciation plus surrender equals trustee. And this is the method for progress, that I use everything but without attachment or dependence. That's really the way, because it is laying the platform that those things don't pull me, whether negative or positive. And surrender, Baba defines, I remember once Baba said that surrender is using everything I have according to Baba's directions. And when we come to Baba, I often feel like I'm just a soul, but I have 6 resources. And if I use them according to the way Baba wants, not the way I want, my life becomes divine. And they are my thoughts, my words, my actions, my time, my money, and my energy. And it's like Baba gives us directions how to use them. And when I use them in that way, then that's really what Baba said is surrender. But renunciation is the thing that really interests me at the moment. Because Baba said renunciation is stepping away from the consciousness of mine. The things that pull me in yoga subtly are my feeling, you know, my way, my. Stepping away from the consciousness of mine so I lose a right over that. Sometimes I have the idea that when we began in the cycle, the soul was naked, you know? Just, I come down, the soul just naked of anything. And I just sit lightly on the forehead. And then as I take birth and rebirth, you know, the soul begins to accumulate, especially from the copper age. We start to feel a bit insecure. And as we feel insecure, I start to say, I am this and this is my. And we build up this huge network by the end of the cycle. Actually, it makes me feel secure, you know? These things give me security, and that's why we invest in them, because they do give me a temporary feeling of security. But at the same time, the more I have of them, the heavier I feel, you know? They give me the temporary security on one hand, but on the other hand, the soul just feels burdened, heavy, weighed down, actually not happy. And this is how the soul has really, you know, come at the end of the cycle. And yet Baba said, it's this renunciation that creates fortune. And in these mollies, Baba in detail outlines three steps of renunciation that will create deep meditation. And when I'm in that state, Baba calls tapasya, just my face, my vibrations, my life becomes service. You know, tiag, renunciation, tapasya, renunciation, seva. And the first step is this renunciation. And the first renunciation, of course, is of the body. And it's interesting, we're all here because we're Brahmins, and this is the first step in this life. Many times I ask, how far have I really taken this step? Baba said that sannyasis renounce their home and they never go back, a true sannyasi. And Baba said a true Brahmin renounces the home of the old body and never in thought should I take it back. This is the standard Baba is teaching. You know, because Baba's taking us, he offers us all the highest level. And Baba was saying, what is the attitude of renunciate of the body? The attitude is that this body is Baba's, and I'm just using it in trust. You know, actually, I'm the soul, I'm just using it in trust. And Baba even, I think, gave the example of how he comes into Dadi Gulzar, uses it, and goes, uses it and goes. This is the sort of level that Baba wants us to practice, because Baba said, if we do that, we reclaim my authority back. I break body consciousness and establish a true state of soul consciousness, which means I move from a slave to a master. I let go all dependence. So this step is letting go all the dependence that I've built up. This first step of renunciation. And Baba said, what is the sign of a soul who's a slave? What's a visible sign? There'll be some sorrow on their face. There'll be some sadness or sorrow on their face. They will get easily upset. And so in a way, if I'm still having sorrow, if I still get upset, all it's telling me is this first step is still in process. I still really haven't got to that real level of renunciation of body consciousness, because it's a lifetime learning. Baba said the master, the sign of the master, always cheerful. know, whether, whatever, if it's a difficulty, if it's a person, if it's a situation, if it's a facility, no matter what, I never come down from that stage of self-respect. And so Bubba was saying, okay, children, we've collected, you know, we've built up this body consciousness. To have deep yoga, the first step is to renounce the body. The sign that I've done that, I remain fairly constantly cheerful. How far have I really gone in this sort of first and fundamental step of this life? The second step that Bubba talked about was renunciation of my physical sense organs. And the way he put it was very sweet, because he said, what's the game of slaves? What is the game that slaves play? He said, when the mouse comes, the cat comes to chase it away. Do you remember this? When the cat comes, the dog comes to chase it away. And when the dog comes, what chases away the dog? Bubba said the lion or the tiger or something. What Bubba was actually saying, he said, sometimes the mouse is the eyes. You know? So we're deceived by the eyes, and then the cat is the ears. We hear something. And then the dog is another sense organ. And ultimately the lion is my sanskaras. The way I understand that is really that these things keep taking over my mind. Just imagine your mind is this vessel of truth that you're trying to keep clean to connect with Baba. And yet through one of the sense organs, the information comes and completely takes over and starts to drive my thinking. I see some nice food, and my mind becomes so engaged in that food. I see someone's body, and I begin to think about it, or I'm attracted by it. And so this inner world, the sense organs, take over and drive my thinking, take over this precious inner world. To me, in a sense, body consciousness, one way I'm thinking about it at the moment, all I do is chronically react to life. I see something, I think, 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 think. And then I hear something, I think, 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 think. And then I taste something, I think, think, think. I watch something, I think, think, think. A feeling comes up from the past. So my mind is constantly reacting and being driven by external influences, you know? What is meditation? It's actually I'm starting to drive my thinking. I'm not bowing down to the sense organs and they keep taking over my inner world. Actually, I create the thoughts I want. This is soul consciousness. I sow the thought I want and the feeling I want. And when I observe something out there, I observe it. It doesn't penetrate my inner world and take over my thinking. As far as I feel, this is what Baba means by becoming, you know, starting to renounce the domination of the sense organs over my mind. Because Baba said, when I do this, I won't be influenced or deceived. Because so easily, if I see someone attractive or the other side, it just deceives my whole thinking and it takes my thinking down a train. So the first step, the renunciation of the body. The second step, the renunciation of the sense organs. The third step, building the platform for that quality of meditation, was the renunciation of bodily relations. And in this, Baba said, you know, because Baba talked, he was like educating us in the master class. He said, for this you have to become the destroyer of attachment. And what is the sign of one who's a destroyer of attachment? Baba said, there's no attraction or no repulsion, either side. No attraction, but no repulsion. And first Baba took up repulsion, and he was just saying, and you think about it, when somebody you're unhappy with, just think how they can dominate your inner world. You know, as you walk along, you're thinking about how they've behaved or what they've done to you. As you sit to you in yoga, it's like I've bowed down and become a slave to that thinking. Then it's incredible, even when I try to remember Baba, the image of that person comes, not because I'm attracted by them, I'm, as Baba put it in strong language, repulsed. What is the seed of repulsion? Baba said it's a royal form of selfishness. Repulsion, anger, this resistance is a royal form of selfishness because I'm upset because they're not fully fulfilling my desire of how I want them to behave, you know? Sometimes we're such controllers, we want people to behave in the way I like. And when you don't behave in the way I like, I reject you. I feel upset by you. I feel disturbed by you in that way. And in a sense, this repulsion or this annoyance, this chronic upset feeling in my mind about somebody is actually my own selfish desires about how I want you to behave. That was such an enlightening thought when Baba said that. On the other side is attraction. And when I'm attracted, I bow down. I come under the influence. It's like the shadow of another soul is more powerful than the shadow of Baba. And Baba said that you can't really have yoga when the shadow of another soul is really over. He was just like saying it so clearly. And the sign, Baba said, how can I tell if there is this attraction? Baba said, a good test, a good touchstone, is whenever I have a real problem in my life, a real issue, where does my mind first go to? Does it go to Baba or does it go to this soul? Baba said, that's the touchstone to tell, you know, how am I going? And so the destroyer of attachment isn't pulled on the attraction side or the repulsion side. Really working to that level where I'm not pulled on either side. And Baba said sometimes we have this little karmic game where we give support to somebody. And Baba was saying we've come to settle our account, but sometimes we increase that account. We don't even realize. And Baba said this little game where one takes support and one gives support. Because in this set of mornings, it's like Baba's taking us to such a high destination because he was saying, children, if you really want the highest link, I've got to look honestly at all these aspects. How far have I really renounced the body? How far have I stepped away from the sense organs? And really, how far have I had the renunciation of bodily relations, because this sets the foundation, it frees my intellect to be able to have that connection with one. And Baba actually said there were three types of renunciates, and I love the way Baba says, the one first is renunciates, the second is great renunciates, and the third are the greatest renunciates. He doesn't say the ones who aren't renunciates, we're all renunciates, because he said there's three households we have to renounce to have that quality of meditation. The household, the Lokic household, firstly. The household of the body, secondly. And thirdly, the household of service. And this was really interesting, because what Baba was saying was that the renunciates with knowledge in yoga begin on the path of moving away from the old world. And they do. But sometimes they're under the influence of Brahman sanskaras and sometimes they're old sanskaras. And Baba said there's two main obstacles for the renunciates. The first, I think, was that they haven't got really the courage to face obstacles. And the second is that they're drawn by comfort. And So Baba said they are renunciates, but they go up and down, they fluctuate. The second, Baba said, are the great renunciates, and they have renounced the household and the household of the body. They have a relationship with one Baba, and they've mastered a lot of body consciousness. They're quite stable and quite happy in Brahman life, but they've let go the iron chains, but they have the golden chains. Do you remember? Where I think, you know, I'm a pretty good teacher, I'm a good yogi, you know, this sort of Baba, I'm this and I'm that, you know, like a little bit of pride. And the greatest renunciates, the ones who've really even let that go and just feel, I'm just an instrument and Baba is doing. Because I think that, you know, this second step of preparing the ground, really seeing how much have I done the work. Once I remember Daddy Gulzar said that during the day to live within the Mariyadas of yoga. And if I keep my mind in the Mariyadas of yoga, it's probably a more easy way of talking about this renunciation. Once again, when I sit, I can go beyond. The Mariyadas of yoga, to practice soul consciousness, firstly. Secondly, to churn knowledge. Thirdly, to have sweet conversation with Baba. Fourthly, the seed stage. And what she was saying, if I keep my inner world in those parameters, it's easy to let go at the end of a busy day and go beyond. But if I practice self-consciousness, and then I get a bit upset, and then I have a sweet conversation with Baba, and then, you know, something else happens, you know, I get a bit body conscious, and I go in and out, when I sit once again, I'm caught in this game. So therefore, it's like, what I do in the 18 hours of the day is crucial to the quality of my yoga. So the first step is laying the foundation. The second step is preparing the ground, you know, perhaps following Baba's directions, renunciation, etc. The third step, I would say, is generating the heat of the volcano. And that is love. The power of love is really the great power of this life. So it's like I put in the preparation. You know, often I feel, you know, we search, you know, the ultimate aim of the human soul is we search for true love. You know, you think the subtext of life is we look for true love. And before we find Baba, we invest our heart in relationships. But the law of life tells us that all relationships are temporary. The great dilemma of human life is that no relationship is permanent. And so whether it's change, whether it's separation, whether it's death, the object of my love goes. This has created so much upheaval. We Baba's children come and we realize I've re-found my permanent lover. Baba is always there. And this deep love, and sometimes I ask, am I in love with the concept of Baba being the ocean of love, or am I really in love with Baba? Do I really feel that connection? Because I remember once someone early in my Brahman life said to me, you can only love someone who's lovable, you know? Because sometimes, you know, I think we carry history. Sometimes Baba's, it's a bit formal. We push Baba away. Baba's more of a concept, an idea. And so my mind becomes a bit tired. It's like I have to taste how attractive, how innocent, how lovable Baba is. And allow myself to be loved. Often I feel, for me these days, what is meditation? It's just sitting in front of Baba and giving my position, myself permission to be completely loved by Baba. You know, open myself. Allow Baba's love to penetrate the soul. Because what is knowledge? To me, knowledge is seeing what is stopping that love. What's blocking that love? What is preventing me if I'm sitting in front of the lover I've looked for so long? What's stopping me tasting it and feeling it? It's my own feelings, usually, of feeling unworthy, etc. I've got to work through it. Because what generates the heat of is love, and that takes me beyond the body in a natural way. I become bodiless in a natural way. It's like I don't have to force myself. The love takes the soul, flies beyond the body. And, you know, to me, Baba, each season, once again, he keeps telling me, telling us, telling all of us, children, be bodiless, be bodiless. It's like, it's the fitness of Brahman life. Often for me, I think that we study for years. We study knowledge every single day for 1 second's practice. To let go everything in 1 second, you know? You think to let go the body, let go the relations of the body, let go service, let go responsibility, in 1 second, we've got to let go everything. Everything that sustained me for 2,500 years, it's like I have to let it go in 1 second. That's the ultimate study, isn't it? I went through a period of time where I used to try to, when traffic control came, I used to try and let go and see if I got stuck somewhere. Have you ever noticed traffic control comes? We were laughing about this the other day in the thing, because sometimes the traffic control comes and you're thinking, when will it stop so I can get on with what I want to do? Let's be honest. You know, that's how the mind is. Sometimes we're so into the doing process. And yet, I observed, where do I get stuck? It's an indication where my accounts lie. Where am I pulled? Where does my mind go in this crucial time when I let go and I start the process to go beyond? Where do I get stuck? Because I really do feel that if I begin to lay the foundation, you know, prepare the ground with an accurate Brahman lifestyle, and I start to sit in love, I'm in this loving relationship with one Shiv Baba, I'm generating the heat, it takes me beyond the body. I really naturally experience the bodiless state. The next state is the burning, it's the fire. And this is like the state of silence, I would say, that Baba often refers to. And it's almost the silence that revitalizes, burns, cleans. It's almost like I've prepared myself and my mind is now closed to the world. It's closed to everything limited of the past. I'm absolutely in tune with Shiv Baba. I'm in front of Shiv Baba. And it's like the purity of God can penetrate my inner world and act on my inner world and my sanskaras at that time. It's that silence where it's almost like minimal thought is happening. I'm resonating on the same frequency. I love the analogy sometimes that it's like Baba's on the FM dial. When I'm body conscious, I'm on the AM dial. I know the FM dial exists, but I can't tune in. You know? I've got to go up. I've got to be that absolute seed resonating on that same level as Baba, the supreme seed. And in that, I think it's almost like I hear Baba's voice. It's like I know what Baba's telling me, what I need to do. And I have the confidence. And as I act on it, I get so much power. It's that absolute cleanliness of connection, where I am just in front of Baba as the Supreme, and I'm just his child. And it's almost like the past story begins to absolve in that purity of connection, that purity of love. But how do I get there? It's building myself. It's building it up to that phase. And I think it's almost like every aspect of my Brahman life is contributing to that ability for the fire to burn and the link to be unadulterated. Many times I think even our relationships in the Brahman family, you know, if they are difficult and I'm caught in the repulsion side of attachment, not the attraction side of attachment, and I'm caught up in that little world, that side scene, can I have a good connection with Baba? I don't think so. It's like I've got to each part. Even my relationships will contribute to my ability to have this unadulterated connection, because ultimately this will bring the power back into the soul. What was that little formula that Baba always says? Tyag, renunciation. I've renounced. There's that depth of yoga, which we just talked about, the silence, the resonating, the time when Baba's working on the soul. Then my sanskaras are doing service. It's almost like, it's not so much service through here. Like Baba's been saying, it's my face, it's my vibrations, it's my feelings, you know, which are really doing service. And that's, I think, that's the memory of last cycle, I think, isn't it? That we serve from such an elevated place. Now, sometimes I've sort of seen it as, you know, one step is from body conscious to Brahman. That's a huge step. You think of the change in Brahman life, you know, to go from the old world and become a Brahman. I become Baba's child. I've come home. This is where I belong. The next step is from Brahman to serviceable. I get totally engaged in Brahman life. Most of us are in that phase, I think. I'm fully committed. But sometimes because of the golden chains of I and mine, my part, my idea, my area, I get involved in all the conflicts and subtle, you know, stuff that goes on. The next step from serviceable to angel. Letting go even the golden chains. Just, it's almost like letting go everything. I'm just a child of God. That's the ultimate sort of stage of renunciation that Baba really wants. That, you know, I'm just an instrument. Really, Baba is doing. And I think, you know, I often reflect, because I can sometimes relate to all the phases, to be honest. But I really think, well, the yug is in such a phase of doing and action. We're all in it, and it's good, and it has to happen. But the next phase is the service through the angelic stage. Am I ready? You know, am I really ready? Sometimes, you know, I think the world is invoking that. You know, the world really wants us to step on to that stage. Am I really ready? Do I have the courage? Because sometimes I think the greatest challenge for Brahmins is to accept our own greatness. And I don't mean in an ego way, but, you know, you think our part, to accept our own part, you know, in the drama. Because sometimes we say, no, 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 Baba, that's not me. You know, that's not me. Maybe it's Daddy or someone like that, but that's not me. You know, really, I think the knowledgeful soul accepts that this is my part in the drama, to step up and play that part as the angel. You know, how much have I really let go all the steps to reach that point? And in these renunciation mulis, Baba outlined it step by step. And if you haven't read them, I really feel it's almost like such a clear formula as to what this life is really deeply about. What really is Raja Yoga? What really is the life to be Buddha's child.